Hello, and welcome to the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us. Today's message is here to help you preach the good news everywhere in your day-to-day life. Here at Covenant Fellowship, we accomplish this by encountering God, loving people, and serving others with everything we've got. Now let's dive in.
I'm going to be very transparent with you. I didn't know what I was preaching until just now. Like just now. I had a sermon that I sent them 2 weeks ago that I thought I would preach today. And then I was in the woods with God. And the Lord began to speak to me and I put something down. Then this morning, early, I was kind of going over, what do I do? And then the Lord spoke something else to me. So I told the media team back there, they said, what do you know you're going to do, the one you've been on, Let's Act Out? No, what are you going to do? I have no clue. When you tell tech team you have no clue, it's like, oh, Lord, how do we handle this? But before we get going here, I've done that again. If I put this down, I'm less likely to do that. I want to just share something with you that I heard from the Lord yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. I don't know the date that I typed this out, but it was while I was on a hunting trip. My hope is that you'll receive this, as I feel like the Lord wants me to share it, maybe. And this is probably not preaching what I'm about to share with you. I'm not going to ask you to turn in your Bible, at least right now. I may share something in a minute, but I want you to just hear what I began to write down. I was doing some studying, actually, in the woods. I had some cell phone service in one of the places, and I was doing some study on something else. And you know how it is, the Lord will just grab you and just kind of take you to a place, and I kind of set it down. And I began to write some things out. Now, you guys know what I preached just before I left. And actually, let me say this. I know Pastor Scott's not here. He's on a business trip. But I really appreciate the message that he brought last Sunday. What a powerful word from the Lord that Pastor Scott preached last Sunday. And then Wednesday night, I want to give honor to Pastor Jeremy Michaels for leading the Wednesday night group as well. Man, I tell you what, we've got some powerhouse anointed men and women of God who know how to navigate the Word of God. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be a part of that. And to know that you are cared for well when I'm gone. But here's what began to come to my heart, and it almost, part of it was more like reflection, and part of it almost came prophetically. So I want you to hear it, maybe how it lands on your ears, and we're just going to go with this right here this morning. Again, I don't like feeling this like unprepared, but you know, I've learned over the years, you got to just trust God. Can you say amen? You just got to trust the Lord. At a speed that I have never seen in the 51 years of my life, the simultaneous prophetic spiritual things that are transpiring are mind-blowing to me. The first thing that I see transacting or transpiring is really how 2 Timothy 3 is so prevalent nowadays, which says, and I quoted from this a couple weeks ago, know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous there means desperate, hopeless type times. And when I look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, it kind of identifies what those times would look like. For men would be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, keep going, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, Watch this. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of thereof. From such people, turn away. The scripture there, when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you look at what's happening around the world, and especially here in America, when I look at that, I think, boy, perilous times are at a level that I didn't think I would ever see in my lifetime. The way things are happening from a cultural standpoint is snowballing, and we're talking about mostly from the wicked. The unrighteous are, it's almost like they're inventing ways to be sinful. And it's crazy to me how people are so divisive and how people are in such ways that the 2 Timothy chapter 3 to me seems so prevalent. And anybody at any generation could probably make that statement about the wicked, because people who don't know God do wicked things. Can you say amen? How many of you were among that number one day? Let me, yeah. I'm going to raise my hand right there. You've been there. But at the same time, I told you that there were simultaneous things happening. We're told in 2 Timothy 1 through 3 that there would be a falling away, a deconstruction of faith, much as a result of shallow, sensationalized Christianity with no love for the truth. It has been traded for a lie. It's Romans 1. It has been traded, claiming to know the truth, trading the truth for a lie. Folks defending lies, delusions, mental illnesses such as social constructs. They want the rest of us to play along with their pretend game. It blows my mind. And a falling away, when I'm saying a falling away, I've never seen so many people that were raised in some type of church atmosphere who decided that that stuff that my pastor had preached, my mom and my dad and my grandpa taught me, the things that the Word of God says, well, I just don't really believe that now. Because after all, it's a book. And how can I take a book and just take what a book? Because after all, doesn't the Muslims have a book? Doesn't the Hindus have a book? Doesn't Ekankar have a book? Doesn't everybody? And what they do is tend to reduce down as though the book that you and I have, they make you think of pages in a book rather than eternal, absolute truth. So they begin to say, well, that was what Paul wrote back in his day because that was what was accepted in culture. And if we were at a different time in culture, he wouldn't have said what he said. So it's reducing the word of God as just man inspired and man written instead of Holy Spirit inspired and man written. Some people said, was the Bible written by man? Yes. Multiple men in different continents at different times that all said the same thing about the God of heaven. That's a miracle in and of itself, friends. It's not just a localized ideology. It's God's revelation given to man. And I've never seen the time of such falling away where people have now moved themselves away from that which is Christian to form something so different, which leads me to the next thing. It's not as though they fall away from a spiritual hunger. They just fall away from truth. So what do? Is they create the Hebrews version of church, the book of Hebrews, about an apostate church. A church that preaches, that says things and sings our same worship songs. Church services where people cry, where people laugh. And in many ways, it would look a lot like today, with the exception is that it would be absent of the anointing and absent of truth. It is a day of an apostate church where, if it were possible, the elect would be deceived right now. Because there are people who are very passionate, but at the same time, they're passionate not about the truth, but about a God of their own understanding. A God that they want to believe in. A God that they've made up out of the figment of their imagination by recognizing, hey, there's something in me cries out for relationship with God, but I don't really like all the stuff that I was taught about God, because we're in a new era now. We're smarter. We're better. And the problem with it is because we are in a more modern era and we can do better research than we've ever done, we can look at the 5,200 manuscripts that was found to the first century church. We can recognize that there's more evidence for the truth of the Bible than in any other generation ever. And yet people will still say, that's not the Bible. Wanting to form a God of their own understanding. And the Bible tells us why. Because of their own vile passions and lusts. There's a desire within me to want what I want. Not a desire in me to want what he wants. I want what I want. And I want to feel affirmed in it. So if you want to affirm me, I'll go find somebody who will put it together and call it a church. And make people feel like we can be spiritual and God still loves us and all is well. Let me tell you some things that's right and wrong with that. God still does love you. But you know what's wrong with it? Every foul lie of the enemy to get you into deception. And you don't know you're deceived. You want to know why? Because deception is deceptive. And you want to believe it so badly. Because you hate the idea of telling yourself no. You hate the idea of telling. And in 51 years of my life, I've never seen there be more and more churches that come up with things, ways to gather people, but it is so against the truth of the Word of God. You can't find it in Scripture. They twist Scripture so atrociously. But again, it's the Romans 1 principle, claiming to be wise. They put together linguistical arguments, much like Darwin put together a linguistical argument. There's more scientific proof to disprove Darwinism than any other time in history past. And yet the world still has to tell the lie because they've invested way too much money in its hypothetical possibilities. There's whole fields of science that has developed as a result of a hypothetical thought process that does not meet the construct of the scientific theory. It stops at a hypothesis. Because there's not enough evidence together for its reality. But if we keep telling people that, then people do not have to come to the God factor. So an apostate church propagating everything that it possibly can. And at the same time, when I look around of what's happening, I've never seen a time of such pestilences, wars, and rumors of war. And the reason I say that is because sometimes we think of warfare as tanks and guns. Ladies and gentlemen, we have areas of our military that specialize in cyber warfare because that is a greater threat than sometimes guns and tanks. Now, few in this room, now I don't want to insult your intelligence, but few in this room do not understand the fight for space, for satellites that control technology here on this earth. Because if someone through cyber links could link into a building's systems or a vehicle, thousands of vehicles. Our very own Mark Karwowski works in cybersecurity for vehicle components for around the world. And the reason is somebody hack your vehicle, everybody turn left right now. You got more than one bomb could set off. You're going down the interstate. So more wars and rumors of wars, famine, knowledge increasing that the Bible said would, the AI factor, technologies, nation against nation, which means ethnos against ethnos, and it doesn't really mean like you think. It doesn't mean America against Iran. It actually means people groups, people who form their own little kingdoms, and it's us against them. It's the Mexicans against the whites, against the blacks. It's the poor against the rich. It's the this against this. It's the LGBTQ against this, and it's this against that. And it's we all hate you, and we all can't stand you, and you don't like us, you don't affirm us, we can't do this, we're never gonna do that, and it's just. And in 51 years of life, it's never come to a place where all of these are lining up. It is the spirit of Hamas. Remember, I taught you about that. And I'm not talking about the group over in Palestine. It's Hamas. It's the Hebrew Hamas. Where your Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, God judged the world in the time of Noah because Hamas, violent evil, evil, violence filled the earth. People have become so violent and calling good evil and evil good. It's happening before our eyes. But that's, and these were the things that I was thinking about. But here's all of a sudden where I feel like the Holy Spirit really began to capture my heart. But I also see a generation that is so hungry for a move of God and the truth of God and the kingdom of God unlike I have ever seen. They are hungry. They are fearless. They are unashamed. They are unrelenting. They are faith-filled. The passion of God burns within them. They are filled with purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. They will not be denied. They're tuned in to the things of God. They are not going to be made to be cowards, nor will they be lukewarm puppets of westernized Christianity. Their hearts have been ravaged by the holy love of God. They have seen the cheap stuff that the church has prostituted for money and fame, but have decided that they will not accept the cheap for a one Sunday stand here and there. They have recognized that they have a burning white love, hot love for the marriage and the groom of heaven. They look for his return, and they're willing to be the people that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. They will lift up high the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and show forth his resurrection power in the earth. Religious people will be unseated from their thrones of authority and replaced by folks that are not interested in propping up the system or climbing its proverbial ladder. They will be interested only in the glory of Christ and the salvation for the lost, making true disciples of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Ghost will be undeniable in the wake of their ministry. They want to see the kingdom come and his will done truly on this earth as it's being done right now in heaven. They have no desire to see salvation come from government nor its leaders like most people think it's going to come for. They recognize that Revelation 13 must be fulfilled, and they see it happening before their eyes. They war in the heavenlies with mighty weapons of warfare from another world. They have on the full armor of God. They hear the call to the closet and to the streets. They know that time is short and the kingdom purpose is the only thing that matters within them. The degree that is most important to them is to not walk the stage of the accolades of human ideology, but to walk across heaven's stage and hear the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This generation is rising up among us. This generation that was prophesied in the book of Joel and also in the book of Acts, that know this, that in the last days, in the last days, in the last days, God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy. They have a prophetic voice that God has given them to be able to cry loud and spare not and lift up their voice like a trumpet. They are passionately in love with the Lord. I believe that generation is among us. I believe many of them are in this church. I believe they love God with all of their heart. I believe they're sold out. I believe they're willing to stand up and declare that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The big question is, who wants to be among that generation? I stand and declare to you this day that I want to be a part of that generation. I want to be that kind of pastor. I don't want to be one that's trying to climb a proverbial ladder. I want to see God move. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is an undertow of the Holy Spirit that is the deep is crying out for the deep. People who are willing to stay shallow and on the edge of the banks will seemingly be taken by the undertow of those types of lukewarm churches, those sensationalized churches, those churches that want to compromise in the face of truth. But I tell you right now, there are people that are crying out for the more of God. They long for the deeper things of God. God says, I'll answer that cry. Part of it was just thinking. And part of it became very prophetic. And I feel like the last portion of that is extremely prophetic. You see, the apostate moment is the time when the Lord talked about at the end of the age, what would he do? He would separate the sheep from the goats. Me and my son was having a conversation while on a hunting trip. We were talking about deer making scrapes on the ground. And he said, they're pretty nasty, but they're not as nasty as a billy goat. My mind went to being at my Uncle Bill and Sheila Jones's house one time, and they had goats. They've been farmers their whole time. They've been married. And I remember Uncle Bill had this billy goat, nastiest stinking thing, almost as nasty, probably nastier than liver. This thing would do something so stupid. I never researched why they would do that, but it would urinate in its own mouth. I don't know what it's doing. Maybe it's trying to make its beard smell good. I don't know. Nasty. And it would butt you. Bro, if you got next to the cage, that thing would rear back and, I don't know what Jesus was fully talking about separating the goats from the sheep, but what I little bit I do know about them, I know that sheep like green pastures and still waters. I know that goats will eat anything. One thing that I know about what he used to do with some of those goats is if you had a growed up piece of property, just go turn you some goats loose. You didn't have to worry about what they eat. Like if you put horses in there, you can't have wild cherry. There's other plants. They start chewing on the bark. It's poisonous for them. Cattle the same way. Sheep the same way. But take the goats there. They'll eat pop cans, aluminum foil. But it sounds like a time when people will eat about anything and not feast on the truth. And the separation is happening right before our eyes. As the Holy Spirit is leading this morning, it is my hope, it is my desire that out of everything that transpires today, that there would be an honest heart for God, for a truth for His Word. Men in this hour love a lie more than a truth. And you have to purpose in your heart that I want to know the truth because that's the only thing that'll make me free. I love church when we get, like when it's a feeling, right? Like, man, when you feel it. I was about to lose my mind earlier. Literally, I thought I was going to take off running. I thought about it. I really did. I thought about it. Last time I thought about running, I thought, no, I might hurt myself. So I took my shoe off and threw it. I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I'm like, I'm losing my mind in the presence of God. So powerful. And I love that. But he looks for true worshipers who know how to worship in spirit and in truth. Not spirit and passion. Not spirit and my way. Not spirit and what I want. It's spirit and truth. And Jesus told us, he said, thank you, Father, that your word is truth. He was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ is truth. And I love the fact that God has called us to a moment right now. And you gotta recognize what's happening. And you gotta determine, I want to be a part of this passionate, full of faith, full of the fire of the Holy Ghost move of God that's going on right now. You don't have to look hard if you're looking in the right place to find it. If you're looking in the world, you won't see it. But if you are looking in the right place, you'll find it.
And that wraps up this episode of the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. For more information about who we are, please visit us at cfbristol.com or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We hope that you have a blessed day. And as always, just like we find in Isaiah 60, verse 1, we hope you arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.